Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and there's a great new book coming out in good company. It's all about your pets, and it's about celebrity pets, and there are so many great people represented in this thing, great people and their great pets. And Joanna Sigman is the author and the photographer, and she's with us here on the National Defense. Joanna, how are you?
I'm great, Randy. Nice talking to you.
Hey, great to talk to you. Listen, this is a great idea. And I want to ask, first of all, was this your idea or did somebody that one of these celebrities maybe suggest this?
No. This was something that kind of evolved organically from as I was trying to explore the different types of photography. It was during one session, a friend asked me to do a picture of her pet with her because she was afraid that he was going to die. He was old. And she was sitting in a chair. He was on the ground and that wasn't working. So I had her get on the ground. And as soon as that happened, this magic happened. This relationship started happening. And I suddenly realized that this fascinated me. I really wanted to focus on taking photos of the relationship of people between their pets. So I call these portraits of love. These are not just pet portraits. They're portraits of love. And they depict these small moments in everyday life where people with their pets just express love towards each other, whatever that looks like in each individual relationship.
Yeah, and you've got a couple of people here in the book that have passed away since this was taken. And so for their families, like the families of Ed Asner and Norman Lear and some of these people, I mean, this has to be so special to them that they have that to have always, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Liza Asner was just very effusive about it. And Ed loved Ed Asner loved the photo. It really depicts
now, what
him
kind of dog does he have?
It's a bulldog. Of course it's a bulldog.
Of course it's a bulldog. Of course it is. Well, it's funny. We're based in Kansas City.
What else could it be?
We're based in Kansas City, Missouri, and Ed is from Kansas City. And so
yes.
We've had a chance to visit with him many times, and he's, you know, Mr. Gruff turns into Mr. Softy right away, right?
Yeah. But I did want to clarify that Norman Lear is still alive and kicking, but he also, he loved it so much, he called me personally on the phone to just gush about it. And I was just so moved about it. Yeah. He has a print of it outside his home office. So he's still around over 100 now and going strong. Yeah. He's something else. He's something else.
How about Ed Begley Jr.? Now I've got to believe that Ed Begley Jr.'s dog looks just like Ed Begley Jr.
No, you know, it's very interesting. I get asked a lot if there's a lot, because there's this whole thing where people look like their pets, right?
Right.
And I know that is true in a big general sense, but when it comes to the portraits in my book, I did not find that to be the case, except with Ed Asner. Ed and his dog could be twins, you know, brothers from another mother. But no, Ed Begley has a beautiful little rescue, and his story is so sweet. He said it was his birthday and his daughter's car broke down and he had to go meet her at the repair shop. And there was this little tiny dog there that had been living at the repair shop. And they ended up, she said, I can't let him live here. I'm going to rescue him. And he ended up keeping the dog. And he said, it's the first we've had my wife's dog, my daughter's dog. This is my dog. This is the first time I have my own dog. So he adores, it's a little white dog. It looks like a terrier mix of sorts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I got a photo of them. He, you know, he's a very environmental activist. He's very much about the environment.
Absolutely.
And he has a beautiful backyard where he cultivates flowers and food and stuff. And Bunny, his dog's name is Bunny, helps him in the garden. And that's what I took a picture of them in the garden.
That is great. We're talking to Johanna Sigmund here on the National Defense. The new book is out, and a lot of the great people in it. And this was Love Your Pet Day was back in February, and it kind of coincided with the book. And the book is called In Good Company, and you've got so many great people in here. I want to ask you about how they are when they are with their pets, because there was a reference that people are always themselves when they're with their pets.
Yes.
You can't pretend to be somebody else and correct your dog for scooting on the rug, right?
They annoy you, but then they do that little puppy dog eyes thing,
right.
Animals, I do believe are really critical in human emotional development.
Yes.
And they really keep us grounded and real. They're a direct connection to love. They are a direct connection to our heart. And anybody who comes home from a really bad day and is angry, and there's a little dog or a cat or hamster or hedgehog or whatever it is that you've got, and it's just, everything goes away. It's just about the love. And that is exactly what I'm portraying here. And yes, you're absolutely right. These people who, we tend to look up to people who are notable and famous as though they have some kind of magic quality to them. And we don't realize that they're just normal people. But I wanted to portray them to show that just like us mere mortals, they're reduced to puddles of love when they're in the company of their pets.
I was going to say the dog doesn't care. The dog doesn't care.
The cat doesn't care.
Well, that's true.
The dog cares, but the cat doesn't care.
Hey, this is a coffee table book, and it's really the fine art portraits. And a lot of these people, some of these names, Adam Schiff is in here. You got people from science. You got, of course, Richard Karn is in here.
Yes.
Now, how about David Koz? Wow, that's pretty cool.
Dave Koz. Yeah. Dave Koz is, everybody loves Dave Koz.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I recently had an event and everybody kept coming, introduce me to Dave Koz, introduce me to Dave Koz. He's one of the kindest, nicest, also an activist, also just all about the love. And he was so perfect for this book because he had actually just adopted Buddy. And Buddy was just so gung-ho with our shoot. It was just the cutest thing. And I just wanted to reinforce that no matter who these people are, and I've photographed the former First Lady of Mexico. Just like a really amazing caliber of people that I've had the privilege of photographing. And I think it's, not just my charming nature, but I think it's also because we are, they're inviting me into their home to be with their pet, this creature, this receptacle of all their love. And so our shoots are always, it's very fast. I'm in and out in less than an hour. And it's really been a privilege to create this book, which I just wanted to mention is available online worldwide at any bookstore that you prefer, or if you can order it from your local bookstore if that's what you prefer.
Yeah, and back to Dave Koz for just a second.
Sure.
What kind of a
Let's talk about Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of a dog does he have?
What's really fascinating is that I think almost every single animal in this book is a rescued animal.
Oh wow, that's great.
I think so. I think Ed's might not be. Ed Asner's may not be. But most of them are some form of Heinz 57.
Yeah.
The dogs.
Yeah.
And Dave Koz's is some kind of also a little tiny. It looks kind of like a Jack Russell-ish kind of a mix.
Right.
And he was a puppy, not a really tiny puppy, but like maybe 5 or 6 months old. He was young. He was a young little thing. Yeah. And that's really interesting too, because the smaller the animals are, the more difficult it is to come up with a concept from them. And I'm all about the concept.
I'll bet. Let's talk about your process a little bit too, Joanna.
I mean, sure.
Because that's a fascinating aspect of what you do. It's got to be the right spot. It's got to be the right time. It's got to be, everything's kind of got to fall in line there, especially working with pets.
Right. I simply cannot just show up with my lights and camera to somebody's house. There's a whole intake process that goes on beforehand so that I can come up with a concept. And the concept is a combination. You know, I ask all these questions because we know generally from their public persona what they do, but I want something a little bit more intimate than that.
Right.
And I find what are their hobbies? What sort of things do they do with their pet? You know, that sort of thing. And then I'll come up with a concept based on that. You know, one of those, the magic of creativity coming from the universe. I don't know how it happens, but the image appears in my head and I'll share that with them. And it's almost always, oh, yes, that's perfect. Let's do that. Then comes the hard part. Then we have to schedule. And with people with their schedules, that's what took so long to do this book. It's a labor of love the last 10 years. So it just takes a long time to schedule some of these people. And then, you know, sometimes I'll show up and the concept, the original concept that we had worked out just doesn't sing, or the pet isn't into it, or, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. And I'll just have to think on the fly based on the other things that they told me to come up with something different. Or sometimes we do two or three different concepts because, like, for example, with Adrienne Wilkinson, who's, I don't think you saw that one. She has the meditation one, but she also has the watermelon one. Her little tiny, tiny little dog loved watermelon. So of course we had to do a shoot with watermelon. And when we put him on the table with the plate of watermelon, he dove into that thing.
That's great.
Grabbed the biggest piece he could. It was adorable. But yeah, so that's how it works, is once the concept is decided, then we schedule. Because when I get this idea in my head, I would say almost 98% of the time, if you could take a picture of what was in my head, that's what's in the picture. I have learned to.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
Yeah. That's I guess that's my talent. I don't, you know, it's also about energy. It really is about, I can actually physically sense other creatures' energy. So I can tell when an animal is bored or anxious or you know, antsy or whatever. And so part of my process is when we find the schedule and I arrive at the house, then I go through what I call an energetic calibration so that I become more equal to the pet. I never want to impose me or my feelings or emotions onto the scene. I just want to be there in a voyeuristic sort of way to capture their emotion, their energy, their activities with my photos. And that's, I think, why they're so effective. You know, people look at them when I get this, what kind of photography do you do? Oh, I do pet portraits, and that little bit of glazing over the eyes happens. Oh, cute pictures. And then I'll show them the pictures and it's like, oh, these are totally different. I've not seen anything like this.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to get that, convey those over the, you know, when you can't see them over the radio.
But you know, the portraits too, your portraits in particular, it has so much to do with the pet's eyes, you know, and there are certain, as you know, certain dogs that have great eyes that convey a lot of emotion and expression, and some dogs that don't, right?
Yeah. Well, but you see, and that's where the art and the interaction is, because the whole point of this is to get them at that point in that session where they are actually doing the thing they love to do with their human.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, there's the love, there's the participation, there's the excitement, there's whatever it is that the concept that we're trying to come up with. So it's genuine. And, you know, animals are not, they don't have ego. They don't like, oh, I'm going to be coy. Well, cats do. Cats can be coy.
Back
to cats. But it's about creating the right conditions for a natural moment to occur and then me being able to press the shutter at the right time.
I want to ask you about your, some of the proceeds here. We're talking to Johanna Sigmund here on the National Defense and her book, In Good Company, featuring mm-hmm. many personalities, with their loved ones. But a portion of the proceeds benefiting Apex Protection Project.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that group.
So Apex Protection Project is dedicated to advocating for and saving the wolf species because they're being decimated in many places. And they're a critical portion of the ecosystem. Without them, like the most famous example is Yellowstone National Park, which eradicated all the wolves and the park began to die. And as soon as they reintroduced the wolves, the park miraculously recovered.
Right.
So it's in that same, you know, I chose them because it's a clear step to how one portion of the ecosystem can radically have, you know, this echoing and rebounding effect throughout the rest of the ecosystem. And in that sense, that's what I want to accomplish with this book. It's all about the love and to let people, when they look at these pictures, everybody just grabs their heart and they go, that sensation is what I want to encourage people to live their life through, because it's all about energy, right? Mm-hmm. Energy and love. And no matter what you put out, that's what comes back to you. So if you go through the world with patience and encouragement and compassion and love, that's what come back to you, right? But if you go through with suspicion and malice and anger right. and envy, that's what comes back to you. So this book, it's beautiful to look at. It's tender and loving, but also I want to, you know, hopefully give people a tool with which to reconnect to that love place
that's great.
You know, we're in such polarized place right now. It's like you want to humanize people and see how we all look at our loved pets with the same googly eyes. Everybody does, regardless of where you are in social, political spectrum of
right.
things.
And that is the common ground, right? I mean, we could disagree about 1,000 things, but you love your dog as much as I love my dog. And if if you took a picture of me and my dog, it would have to be because he's a pit mix rescue, and all he wants to do, is catch a frisbee 24 hours a day.
Oh yeah.
We've got it down now to where we do it just a few times a day, but there's no, and you talk about focused. When the frisbee comes out there, nobody can speak. Nobody is just, you know, locked on.
But you know, and pit bulls, you know, I adore pit bulls. One of my favorite shoots. I feel so in love with this little pit bull, pictures not in the book, but talk about misconceptions and maligned.
Oh, right.
And this is, it's, so it's the same thing with wolves. You know, they get this reputation and it's, you know, it's sensationalized and spread, you know, and people take this as gospel and horrible, horrible things are done to these poor animals. And, and so, you know, again, this is about humanizing and getting back to the love.
Now, and what kind of dog do you have?
I no longer have pets.
I mean, you got a bunch of them, but
I'm like the pet auntie. You know, I get to
right.
Grandma, the pet grandma. I get to visit, but none of the responsibilities of caring for them.
I was going to say, you don't have to own it to enjoy it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And also, I do fall in love with almost every single animal. This is one of the reasons I don't have them. I'm a cat person. I love all animals. I want to make that clear to everybody. There's no disparaging, but I'm a cat person. And, when my last cat died, I honestly thought I was going to die
from
the pain,
right?
The pain. I just, I can't go through that again.
It's a lot.
Plus, I also travel a lot, right? So, yeah, right. You know, it's not fair to the to right. the critter.
Although, you know, I will say, you know, things are getting much better in that respect in terms of, you know, where you can stay with your dogs and different things right. like that, where you can eat different restaurants and stuff. And, you know, our audience is comprised mainly of active duty military veterans and their families. And so, you know, we deal a lot with service dogs. We just talked to somebody the other day that trains service dogs, and it takes 120 hours to train a service dog.
Wow.
And
I
just didn't know, had you ever photographed someone with their service dog or emotional support animal?
No. I have a whole, there's a whole series of books that I want to do about people with their pets. One of them is service members. And some of my favorite stories, are military personnel who found puppies and kittens in war zones and stuff
right,
like that. And,
right.
And there have also been in military history, horses and dogs and all these animals that received medals for their
right.
valor and contribute. Yeah. So, yeah, I would love to do something like that. If anybody out there is listening and has connections, hit me up. I would love to do that.
You know what?
But I do have other books planned on other series.
We may be back in touch with you about that, because that's a fantastic, fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Well, Joanna, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the great book In Good Company. It's out there everywhere.
Thank you. This was a great interview. And again, you know, the book is available at all online booksellers globally. So no matter where you're stationed out there, you can probably order a copy of it.
Absolutely.
Or at your local bookstore can also order it for you.
You've been a very good girl. Very good.
Thank
girl.
You so much. And go play frisbee. Go catch.
I got to do it. Got to do it. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.